Hello there, this is Ed McCarty. Welcome to Hoofin' It Podcast with everything horses and livestock.
Hi, this is Jana Harrington Barkus with Hoofin' It Podcast.
And this is Melissa Cowan.
And Melissa, I am so excited. Who do you have with us today?
We have the co-owner and co-founder of the Hoofmanship Program. Her name is Bettina Schultz. And Bettina, I just want to say thank you for joining us today. And welcome. And we are really excited to share with our audience about what you and Tim have created.
Yes, I'm so glad to be here. And I might just even specify, just since I do happen to be married to my husband, Tim Job.
Oh, yes, sorry.
My last name is Schultz Job.
Okay,
yeah, Bettina
sorry.
Schultz Job. And I'm so happy to be here. I'm pleased. Yes.
Okay.
And honored. Yeah.
All right. Well, so let's start from the beginning. How did you and Tim get this thing going? What brought it about?
Oh my gosh. How did Tim and I get this thing going? What brought it about? Yeah. Well, let's see. So in 2005 is when I first met Tim. And so the question of how did we do this together, I think is that around the time when that started. But really, if we're talking kind of what got Natural Lifemanship started, it really goes back. Well, I mean, you know, heck, it goes back to the beginnings of Tim's life and the beginnings of mine
okay.
as well. But my husband, he first started doing some of this work in 1984.
Oh, wow.
When he was working with at-risk at the time. That's what we called that more, at-risk kids.
Mm-hmm.
Today we might say kids from really hard places,
mm-hmm.
right? And partnering them with horses. And so that's really where the sort of the foundations for this model started. And I shouldn't say model, it's really an approach to a way to work with horses and with people. But what I often say, if I'm oversimplifying the story, is that I think Tim spent many, many years trying to figure out kind of what works. You know, he noticed the short of it is, like many, many people, he noticed that the kids that he was working with were doing so much better at the barn with the horses than they were in the rest of their world. Right.
Right. Yes.
We hear this all the time, right?
Yes,
oh my
gosh,
all the
when time.
The kids are out there. Yeah. When the mm-hmm. kids are out there with the horses at the barn, you just don't see any of these behavior problems that parents are reporting or that, the schools are reporting.
Right.
So he was working at a boys ranch. So like a residential treatment facility. And that's what he started noticing there. And so when I say that he started trying to figure out what quote works is that he started trying to figure out how do we transfer this? You know, how do we help kids take what they're getting at the barn and start applying it elsewhere in their world?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And he, you know, it's really, it's such a fun story. Actually, the story is that they put together this, the place he was working, they let him hire a couple psychologists that came together and started helping him understand, you know, what's the psychology of what's going on here, right? If we start mm-hmm. really looking at this, and they created this, book where they were looking at, like, how does this kid ride? How do they interact with the horses? What are we seeing in the home environment?
Oh
right?
my gosh, that took a
and
lot
they
of
started,
time.
Yeah. You know, the very beginnings of some research, and it's kind of fun to read it because both of Tim's grown kids were part of that program. And so you get to see their names in there and see some of what they were seeing with the horses and what they were seeing in their world. But Tim has this book. It's a three-ring binder that's got all the information they worked on at the time. And it's the very beginnings of some great research, actually, right? But it's not something mm-hmm. they published. Anyway, when I first met Tim in 2005, I partially tell you that story that he'd been doing that
mm-hmm.
because I met him because I was trying to find a place to do intern hours when I was getting my master's in counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at the time, you know, really this field's still pretty new. In 2005, it was very new. Mm-hmm. It was really hard to find a place where you could get enough hours.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
And so I actually read an article about Tim and the program he was running at Cal Farley's Boys Ranch. He was at a different boys ranch by then. And I'd read it in the Western Horseman. And I had grown up in the panhandle of Texas. I'd lived there until I was 13. And so I knew that place, right? And my family had a ranch still that was relatively close, so I could live somewhere for free.
Oh, there you go.
And be able to do my intern hours. But when I first met him, you know, I had to go through this whole interview process. And I met Tim as part of my interview at Cal Farley's there. And I was just sitting in his truck, and he was talking a little bit about what they do with the horses there. And he had, his truck in his office is a complete wreck. I mean, to this day, I still don't know how I married somebody who keeps their world like that, right? he had mail all over the windshield and all this stuff, right? And there's this little three-ring binder sitting there on top of a stack of just stuff all over his pickup. And he said, "And someday, if I decide I like you, I might let you read research that we did."
I love this.
That's hilarious.
Back in 1984, and there was the beginning of our, you know,
if I like dynamic. Communication.
Yes. Anyway, so, you know, 2005, that's how we met. And so he had this huge focus on, you know, how are we transferring this stuff? And it's really cool story in having spent many years, so 1984 to around 2005, and what are the things that we're doing? And it was really coming down to the manner in which this relationship is built is what helps us transfer things, right? From the arena or the round pen or the pasture, whatever you want to say that.
Sure.
Into the home environment or the school environment or other things, you know, in quote real life, right?
Right.
And so, you know, when I came along, one of the things that we really began working on really heavily, I mean, just organically it happened around that time in 2005 was the beginnings of all this conversation about trauma-informed care. It's kind of when I'm not saying it didn't exist before that, but, you know, it kind of became in vogue and it became more popular, and it still is pretty popular to be thinking about. In fact, at this point, it's mostly just even irresponsible to be working with human beings if you don't have some sense of what trauma-informed care means, mm-hmm. right? Everybody's learning it in some level, right? So we started learning a lot at that time from Karen Purvis and Dr. Perry and Bessel van der Kolk. And I love thinking analytically about theory of change. And I was, you know, still getting my master's. I was working on a research project, also on this work, a quantitative research project. And you know, we would sit in trainings and be passing notes. Oh my gosh, this is just like, it was helping us start to understand why everything works, right?
Right. You know, I love it. Helping them knit things together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I do think on some level, now if you keep doing this work, you're always trying to figure out what works, mm-hmm, what will work with this person and this horse. And of course, we're still always doing that. I just had a whole day of sessions a couple days ago, and we were definitely in the thick of, okay, you know, how's this working? But so it's not like Tim had, none of us ever master that, but I do think that that was the focus. Like, how do we make this transfer happen? And then when Tim and I came together, this huge focus on why does it work? Because I do think that when we start to understand the why, it is what helps us become significantly more intentional about our work, which then helps us get funding. It helps us be more efficient in the work that we do. It helps legitimize the field. And so, you know, in so much of the training we do, it's a really heavy focus, right? Is our theory of change. And I feel like even, you know, in the fundamentals training, which is really entry level, there's a huge component of that work that's focused on a lot of our theory of change, which does typically land in the understanding sort of the neurobiology of trauma, healthy brain development, attachment, a theory, you know, those kinds of things.
Well, it helps to learn the brain, what the horse and the brain does, what the horse does for the brain, right? The science. That helps. It helps you explain it to people.
Yeah. It's so interesting when we start talking about science, right? Because that is, it's an entry for so many people, because I think that we need to know before we start getting into sort of the art or the nuance of something, we need to know it's legitimate to begin with, right? Like there's something about this that's quote real. Not everybody needs that, you know?
Right.
But I do think it's really helpful. And, you know, I love the balance. We always talk of in natural lifemanship. We often talk about the science and the art of connected relationships. And there's a level at which we teach the science and we teach the skills, right? That only I do believe that only takes us so far.
Right.
But there's an art to relationships, right? In this work that we're doing with humans and horses.
Yes, it is.
But you know, we love the science, and we spent a very, very long amount of time, and we're still in it. I mean, reading research all the time, wanting to understand what's new and what's coming out. I think what's so interesting in this field currently anyway, is that no matter where you research, it all starts overlapping, right? It all comes back to the same thing all the time. Mm-hmm. Comes back to our brains and our bodies and our need for connection and relationship in the world. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what's happened with, you know, what's happened throughout, what kind of trauma, you know, how people were raised, you know, and that conflict that needs help of working through and understanding patience, understanding comfort, and and being able to help others to help yourself.
Yeah. No, absolutely. The thing that just came to mind as you said that was that I think one of the things that's so powerful about when we really start to understand the nervous system and the way our brain and our body develops in an ideal situation, right? Where our environment was kind of good enough, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. When we understand that, it starts to, in a way, simplify our understanding too. You know, simplify our understanding of what's happening, where, you know, what my experience in life might have been very, very different from yours, but our bodies do experience our nervous system, right? Mm-hmm. Does experience the world and experience trauma in very similar ways.
Yes.
And so there is a way that when we come into a really deep understanding of what's happening in our own bodies and in somebody else's, I don't need to have been in the exact same situation you were in to be able to come into a really embodied understanding of what's happening with you. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yes.
Yeah. So
with your program, and so you guys got started and you started doing this, doing all this research. And when did it really take off for you guys? When did the program take off? This was 2005, right? I don't want to say dabbling, but he was, you know, doing a little bit of it already, you said.
Yeah. Well, so Tim had been working with children and horses for a long time, doing lots of that in all kinds of capacities, primarily in residential settings. Right. So he'd been at that for a while, 2005. So in 2005 is when I came there to do my, my internship, and I did a research project at that time. I was working on all my hours. I turned what should have been about a 3-month process into a year. Yeah.
You can get away.
There's a lot there. Yeah.
Well, you know, this was, you know, it's like there's a lot of politics in a really large organization. So for me to get what I needed on the horse end took longer than had been originally planned. But, you know, I actually took a job somewhere else away from there for a couple years after that. And for me, that was a really, really good thing because you know, Tim and I were in still in more of a mentor relationship at that time. I was still, you know, new as a therapist, new practicing this work. I was really very, the big thing was when I was doing my internship, that is when I began to really understand this, how do we build a relationship between a horse and a human,
right?
Mm-hmm. I came in, you know, I grew up with horses and, gosh, you know, like everybody else had, I mean, not like everybody else, but like many of us, we come into this work because we intuitively understand the healing power of horses because of our own experiences.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. With horses. And so I had certainly had that. And I'd also certainly had the, sometimes the trauma that we experience with horses and the grief and the loss and the things that happen when we're in really intimate relationships.
Right.
And so I came in, into this work, right, having an understanding of that. And I remember I really believed, people asked, you know, once I realized, oh my gosh, like partnering people and horses, this is a thing, you know, this is a thing that people do. Mm-hmm. That magical moment. I mean, that's a magic moment for a lot of people.
It is.
Go, oh my gosh, I can partner the two. Yeah. I had that moment too. And I believed, in fact, my language was, as I was telling people who knew nothing about it, I really believed that this is all about the relationship between horse and human and the way that humans can heal through that relationship. That was my language back then. Mm-hmm. And then I did my initial training. At the time, EGALA was out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, EGALA at the time really wasn't relationship focused. It doesn't mean they weren't caring about relationship. I don't say that. I just mean it really wasn't relationship focused. But I went to the training. I was dense enough that I still came out of it like, oh no, I got to go understand this relationship stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so during my internship, actually in the very beginnings of my internship, Tim and I have different opinions about why this happened, but he basically wouldn't work with me.
Oh,
you know,
great.
I know. He's like, hey, I've got this other person. You can like go work with them. So I did. I'll tell you, I'm assertive. And once I decide that I need to do something, I don't always pay attention to what might look like closed doors, you know?
Right. I'm kind of like that too.
I kind of figure out how to get one open. It's my story usually.
Hey, Melissa, let's take a quick break.
Thank you for joining us today. Our podcast is sponsored by
Better Equine, the manufacturer of BE saddle pads.
Bee Tree, pure and natural skin and body care products.
LE Quarter Horses and Cattle Company offers tune-ups, riding lessons, colt starting, cattle doctoring, day work.
And Living Life Ranch, located in Gardner, Kansas.
And now we're back.
That's incredible.
3-day trainings, you know, I mean, those are a blur those years, honestly. And we were traveling so much and, you know, that's when we started bringing other trainers on, because we couldn't sustain what we were doing and have babies. 2018, we had our second and last, child. And then 2020 hit, you know, so it's 2020 is also a big turning point for us, but when it took off, I guess, when it became kind of a, what I would call a real business, I guess is around 2015, 14 or 15.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, so 2020 came and you went online, didn't you? That was the change. You had to do a lot of stuff online, didn't, with the training.
Oh, for Pete's sake. 2020 was just, I mean, it was awful for everybody. But,
it was.
Well, so we had started doing, we were lucky that we'd already started doing a lot online before that. So in probably 2017, we started doing blended training. So we had a situation where people would do a certain amount of online learning before they came in person.
Mm-hmm.
So that had already started. So we already had a lot of stuff online. We already had a membership at that point. And y'all were mentioning that you're members of mm-hmm. Natural Life and Ship.
Yep.
Thank you, by the way.
Thank you. So it's great.
Yeah. You know, we had started building, you know, actually the third person that we hired about I guess it is probably in 2015, was Tim's grown son. His name's Tanner. He's an amazing equine professional, but we hired him because he is also, he does film. He films and edits and he's really good at it. And so the third person we hired was somebody who was going to start filming a lot and creating content. And so when 2020 hit, we probably had 400 hours or more already of online content for our members.
Oh, that's good.
And mm-hmm. so yeah. it was a matter of taking all that content and sort of repackaging it and creating these online courses. Much so awesome. Yes, we did way more online once 2020 hit, but it's not that it was a completely new way for our students to be learning, because we'd been doing it that way for a few years at that point.
Mm-hmm. Just more, yeah. more ways of enhancing and setting yeah. it up to where easy to use
for everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great.
There's been, I can't even believe at times, right, how complicated the technology is, right? Like mm-hmm. somebody says, this one part right here, you know, it's not user friendly. And, you know, I can't figure out, you know, where to click or whatever. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I so hear you. And that's like a $35,000 fix. Like,
yeah, exactly.
nothing simple.
It really isn't. No. It's so hard to get a user friendly interface, and it's, mm-hmm. we're working on it all the time. I mean, we've even, you know, the most recent is really working to be accessible for all learning styles, but it's a massive undertaking just to get subtitle, you know, to get mm-hmm. a closed captioning yes. for your videos, really. Mm-hmm. Right.
It's yeah.
amazing. For a small organization, it is a humongous undertaking, especially if closed captioning is supposed to be picking up, you know, Tim's Texas accent when he's teaching, right?
Yes.
Like, yeah. just forget it. Yeah, forget it. It's like he's speaking another language, you know? So,
I understand it. I get it. Yeah. A lot of people, yeah. the users don't understand how much goes into the technology. Yeah. So they think it's simple just to change this little click, but oh my word, it could have 100 steps.
Yeah. Well, you really can't a lot of times, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's something that was already developed that you're using. Like, we can't custom code everything.
Right.
I mean, it's nuts. We even had a website at one point that we did have someone custom code, because they thought, well, then we can get you what you want. Oh no, because then every time you update anything at all, it breaks everything. I cannot believe the nightmare having a custom coded website was.
Yes, so it's hard. Terrible. I've experienced that too, not with my website, but just with one of my positions. We had a custom site that did the very same thing. If you touch one thing, you have to fix 100 behind it. So, yep. and then re-update. So I get it completely.
Oh, yeah.
But so in today's world, how many facilitators do you have today? You know, do you have an idea how many clients come through with the web now, and people get to come to your facility? So what does that look like?
Oh, let me back that up just a little bit, since you said our facility.
Oh yeah.
Well, I will answer the question, I promise.
Okay,
but
no problem.
That's been the other, I guess, you know, 2020 was a massive shift. I could go on and on about it. It's like I'm still traumatized. I could just keep verbally processing.
Yeah.
What that was like. But then the biggest change probably, or at least, well, the next last big one is that about a year ago, actually July 7th, it was 1 year. We moved to our own facility, which we've never had, right? We've, you know, before that we were doing, like, at one point, I think it was 63 or 67 maybe was the max trainings we ever did in a year, right? But it was all at somebody else's place. We've had people host us.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we have our own place. There's pros and cons to that. It's been a heck of a
sure.
year,
sure,
right? Because of that. So, but your question was, how many people are we training? Because they can come here.
Mm-hmm.
They can also be online. Okay. Yeah. So right now we're still a huge chunk of what we're doing is online, because for a year we have been in the throes of like preparing this place. Now we still have a lot of in-person trainings here. It's been, I mean, there's just no way to explain how hard it is to have to regroup at every single training, because now this pasture can't be used, or that pasture can't be, or we, you know,
oh yeah,
this building isn't, we're moving over here. Yeah. Oh, how do we find better shade? Because now it's hot. I mean, all the things because of the construction that's happening on this property, this beautiful, magical place that also needs a lot of work. And that we were gifted. I should say that too. We did not buy this place. We had a couple approach us And they said, we've been praying about how we could help natural livemanship, and we wonder if we could help you get a place, you know?
Wow.
I know.
Isn't that awesome? Thank you, God, right? That is a huge gift. Huge.
Yeah. I mean, I spent like a week just crying.
Yes.
And then I spent a week crying still, except being like, oh my gosh, what does this mean? It took us a year to figure out what that means and how it looks and all the things. And
sure.
But then we've done this. It's been a major gift, but still a massive risk in many, many ways. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 So, we feel so blessed to be here. So, right now we're still a little bit in this place of there's certain things we can't quite do here yet because we're still working on the space and working on the arena. And there's an inn, there's a 12 bedroom inn. And I think it's like, we're probably 2 weeks out from being able to officially go ahead and put it on Airbnb and book there, things like that.
Oh, that's great.
Exciting. Yeah. Oh, you're getting there.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I have never, ever been so up to my, I mean, I am not exactly a decorator. You know what I mean? Like, I'm up to my ears in the correct way to hang curtains and stuff, you know?
That's hilarious.
Oh, we're constantly learning every day something, aren't we?
Oh my gosh. Right. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Anyway, so we have at this point, we just hired two new employees. So what's our full number on full-time employees? We've got 8 full-time employees.
Fantastic. Wow.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty mind-blowing how many more administrative staff if you're doing so much online, you know, it really takes to do that.
A lot of maintenance.
Lot of maintenance, lots of still answering phone calls and all that, you know, all that stuff, lots of that. Mm-hmm. We just hired 2 new people who are helping run this facility, right? Managing the grounds and the inn and the hosting the trainings and, you know, all that. They just started probably 3 weeks ago.
Good.
Well, you've come a long way.
I know. And then I guess in addition to that, we have about 15 contract workers who are people who do trainings for us. They're our trainers, right? So all of our trainers have other businesses outside of working with us where they see clients and they're doing the work, you know, mm-hmm. And on a very part-time basis, they are teaching our trainings as well. So helping with the fundamentals and the intensives and some of our other specialty trainings.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, we have grown. I mean, some days I say, oh my gosh, how do we go back to like, you know, the 3 weeks of planning the wedding?
You know, I told you previously that Beth Russell had shared your program with us, and mm-hmm. our goal is one day to come. So that's something we look forward to.
We would just love for you to come.
Yeah, I would love to.
Y'all should try to come. This is my like shameless plug, but we have a conference coming up that's going to be so amazing. I just think everybody should come to the conference.
Okay. And when is it?
It's November 9th through the 11th.
And how would our audience get in touch with you to attend that?
Mm. If you go to our homepage and there's a navigation bar up there, right? Mm-hmm. And under trainings, where it says trainings, there will be a little, it should be really obvious. There's a picture in that bar that says conference. Click on that.
Okay.
And you can see.
And they can register.
You can register. Yep. Absolutely.
Okay. Oh, that's fantastic.
In fact, members, y'all are members. So members get 10% off the conference through the end of this month, basically.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm going to look into this. Yeah, I'm going to tell Janie about it. Yeah, we'll have to check that out.
That's awesome.
How would our listeners reach, if they want to talk to you to learn more about your program or, you know, reach out to you, would you provide your contact information for them right now?
Mm-hmm, sure. So our website is naturallifemanship.com. And there's so much information on the website, but you can always, if you have you have specific questions you want to answer, you can email info@naturallifemanship.com. That's going to be the easiest way.
Right. Yeah. And then they can search around on their website and just see all the stuff.
Yeah. It's a great website.
So many, Yeah, we have so many blogs that go really into a lot of the sort of the details, but also we do a lot of free webinars at this point. Mm-hmm. Some of our webinars are available when you watch them live, but the recordings are only available to members. But most of our webinars are available to everybody in the recordings. And so, you know, on our website, if you go to the, it'll say free webinars mm-hmm. on the navigation bar. If you click there, there'll be a spot where you can view all past webinars. And there's a lot of educational content and, you know, a variety of things that kind of oftentimes go into pretty high level stuff on our, you know, our approach to the work, but also sometimes getting into quite a bit of nuance. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your website's top of the line. I love it. It's so easy to get manipulate through it and navigate. So yeah, you guys did an excellent job.
Thank you. Thank you. That was a total labor of love. Absolutely.
Well, Bettina, we have to wrap it up, but I want to tell you, thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to invite Tim, your husband, to come.
Yes.
We'll do a part two with him, and he can tell even more about, you know, what you guys do and what his take is on all the training and the program.
Yes, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
So thank you so much for today.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me. It was great.
All right.
Subscribe with us to follow our podcast and please provide a review. We appreciate your positive feedback, which enables us to provide our free podcast to you. You can find links to the website at ehalnews.com.
Music provided by Ed Mahan. Copyrights by Everything Horses and Livestock.